Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome to episode 49.
This is Ode to the Sighthound.
Woohoo! So we had an episode about our top five dog breeds, and we left sighthounds out of it because we wanted to have a whole episode dedicated to this group of dogs that we absolutely love and we know we would be biased towards if we were comparing them with other breeds.
So this is also based on a blog that we wrote. We picked out seven of, I think, the most common, or at least the ones that we are most aware of different sighthound breeds. We, in researching for this episode, have been looking at the Wikipedia and article of sighthounds and the AKC website to see, and there's a lot more than we mentioned.
Right. There's even one that's extinct.
Whoa.
Crazy. But we'll just list a few, and we're not going to get into all of them today, but if you're wondering, oh, is my dog a sighthound? Well, here's a list. Afghan hound, Azawakh, Borzoi, Galgo Espanol, Spanish greyhound, greyhound, Irish wolfhound, Italian greyhound, Saluki, Scottish deerhound, Silken windhound, Saluki, Whippet.
That is all of the ones on this list that I have heard of, for sure. There's other ones like the Chortai that have Ukrainian heritage. And there's other ones, honestly, that I'm not even going to try to pronounce.
The one that's extinct is the old Croatian sighthound. Who knew? There are also crossbreed sighthound types, kangaroo hound, long dog, and lurcher. But let's get into our list.
Okay, we'll talk about the seven that we had in our blog. And then Jess and I are going to go back and forth and talk about our individual top three each, right?
Yeah. So first up, we've got the greyhound. As an Iggy owner, we're usually in awe of greyhounds because it's just this larger form of our Italian greyhound. It's kind of cool to see them walking majestically on the street, or when they really run at top speed, how impressive that is to see as an Iggy owner.
I've heard often them referred to as apartment dogs because they relax so much. We've said in this blog post that we would be nervous about their size, right? If they got too excited and knock stuff over, we know how destructive two tiny dogs can be, but they still have the tendency to be couch potatoes.
I've heard so many things from greyhound owners. I feel like greyhounds are maybe one of the most popular sighthounds. Of course, this is not backed by anything, but just from experiencing seeing these dogs in real life, I would say I see more greyhounds than Iggies, at least for us in our area of Canada. And there's something about greyhounds as well. I think that they're the perfect example of a sighthound because they don't have any extra hair on them or any, like a long coat. You can sort of see the body definition just like an Iggy, but they've got the long nose, they've got slender bodies, sort of barrel chest, and overall just a slender dog.
Right. And if they had some kind of long coat like some of the other dogs here, kind of the only clue that they even are a sighthound is that long nose that kind of sticks out from underneath all of their fur.
Yeah, so their fur is short, but they have more color options than Italian greyhounds. So there's this brindle color that Ryan and I love so much, and we only discovered it after we got an Iggy. And we realized, oh, Iggies don't come in these colors, but they do happen in lots of greyhounds. And it's that tiger striped kind of look. It depends on, of course, the color of the greyhound, but there's also Spanish greyhounds, and they kind of have this like orangey, dark brown tiger stripe. And I think that they're gorgeous. Personality wise, I believe a greyhound is very similar to an Italian greyhound. I've heard that they're very gentle and easygoing. However, potentially training might be difficult, especially if you're getting a rescue, that there might be a little bit of stubbornness you have to deal with and sort of socializing them into life as a domesticated family dog.
Right, because historically, most of them come from being racing dogs. So they have not had a lot of experiences. Even just things like a loud car driving by would be foreign to them. So like Jess said, the training could take a little more effort. on things that if you were raising a puppy, they would get used to them very quick. But I've said this very often, it's much harder to untrain and then retrain something.
Right. According to the AKC, the American Kennel Club, the temperament of greyhounds are gentle, independent, noble, and they rank in popularity 145 of 197 breeds. So even though we feel like we see them everywhere, they're still definitely not the most popular dog at the top of the list.
I can imagine as well, because we're looking at the AKC, that they're lower because they're not bred to be like family dogs as much. So just whatever their popularity is based on, that might be skewed because of their normal jobs.
The overall weight of a greyhound as well, they can get up to 70 or I'm seeing 80 pounds somewhere else as well. But the females will always be smaller, ranging maybe 60 to 65 pounds. Next up on the list
is the Whippet. So this is, embarrassingly, what we first thought Italian greyhounds were.
That's what we thought we wanted.
And so many people think that as well when they meet our dogs. They're like, oh, is that a Whippet? It's like, no, those are twice as big as our dogs.
Right. And I can see people getting confused because I have met a few very small, very petite Whippets. And I've also met many Biggie Iggies, as people like to call them, Big Iggies. So it kind of almost looks like a little bit of a crossover if you were to get those two dogs together. But one cool bonus of the Whippet, they also come with brindle colors.
Like Jess said, the Biggie Iggies can be sometimes up close to 20 pounds. And the Whippets are usually ranging from 22 to 42 pounds. So they kind of do not have a crossover, but there's that gray area. If you had a small Whippet and a big Italian Greyhound, that it would be sometimes difficult to.
And as for energy levels, we didn't talk about this with the Greyhound, but Greyhounds, reading on the AKC website, need at least once a day to get a good long full speed run. So having a park where you can let your greyhound run at top speed, a dog park, would be ideal. And when it comes to Whippets, with Whippets, I think just a regular walk or play session would do, and they don't need to go full speed run every day. But of course, a few times a week, going to a dog park is a great option, having a fenced in area, because like all sighthounds, they're fast. So you don't want to lose your dog in an area. And if their recall is not up to snuff, you might lose your dog. So always doing that in a fenced in area. Also, Whippets enjoy lure coursing, which I've also heard is something for Italian greyhounds. But Adelaide tried that and it did not go so well.
She was too overwhelmed. It was at the Pet Expo and she was too overwhelmed by all the smells and sounds and couldn't focus on the lure. I think maybe now that she's older, she would do a little better at that. Maybe.
Jury's out on that one.
Yeah, she does try and chase birds when she sees them, just in the backyard.
Yeah, she's very sight driven. She also loves watching TV. Phoebe, not so much. So
Phoebe is sound driven.
Yes. Very disturbed by sound. Mm-hmm. And I say disturbed, it's not always a negative thing. She's just very
sensitive to it.
Sensitive to sound. Yeah. According to the AKC, Whippets in temperament are affectionate, playful, calm. Sounds like a dream dog to me. Life expectancy is 12 to 15 years. So that's one of the higher ranges for sighthounds. I believe that Italian greyhounds are similar to that. Next up, we've got the Afghan hound. We don't have much personal experience with Afghan hounds, but we're actually not sure. We may have just seen one yesterday in our neighborhood, and we kind of freaked out. We were driving by, and we couldn't tell because the coat looked so thick, and it was sort of a blonde color. And the coat was so thick, I could have mistaken it for a lab, but the way it was cut, the way that the hair was cut, looked very much like an Afghan hound. And then when I looked at the face, it looked like a hound dog, or it looked like a sighthound face. So we're keeping our eyes peeled, but we may or may not have an Afghan hound in our very neighborhood. Coming to this breed with more of an appreciation than any experience meeting them in person, we love the beautiful long hair. It's silky, it flows, it's gorgeous. I'm recalling back to that iPhone ad for the camera for the 11 Pro.
Yes.
And it was a commercial, if you're remembering this, that they were blowing wind through, I want to say like a tunnel or something. I want to say it happened in outer space. Now I'm getting really off track. But there was an Afghan hound in this Apple iPhone commercial, and they blew wind over it, and the hair just like flowed out and looked so elegant, and it was amazing.
Oh, it was like the wind tunnel.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Okay, I'm remembering.
That's why I was saying
now.
Space, wind yeah. tunnel, I don't know. Something like that. So if you haven't seen this commercial, definitely look it up on YouTube and you will see what we mean by gorgeous, luxurious, flowing hair of an Afghan hound.
So this dog is usually 50 to 60 pounds. So they're on the bigger side, closer to a greyhound. And like Jess said, they have this long, flowing coat that takes quite a lot of effort to maintain. So that is definitely a downside for us, that compared to Italian greyhounds that really don't need any grooming in general for their coat.
But it would be kind of cool to be able to do your dog's hair.
Yeah, I've seen people put their hair in ponytails and stuff, and it always looks cute.
The AKC describes their temperament as dignified, profoundly loyal, and aristocratic.
Oh, what was the ranking of the Whippet and then of the Afghan hound?
The Whippet ranks 61 of 197 breeds. The Afghan hound ranks 113 of 197. So far, the Whippet is the most popular, then the Afghan hound, then the greyhound.
Next up is the Silken Wind Hound, which is a smaller breed, closer in size to the Whippet, 22 to 55 pounds, and they also have the long coat. So we were doing a little research, and they are not yet recognized by the AKC, but they are recognized by the UKC, and part of that is how new they are. So they were developed by a Borzoi breeder, and she mixed Borzoi and Lurcher bloodlines and had the first litter of Silken Wind Hounds in 1985. So very new compared to like hundreds or thousands of years old for some of these breeds.
Right. When we wrote this blog post, we said that the Silken Wind Hounds were a new breed to us, that we had just discovered them personally. And now it all makes sense because they didn't even exist until the 80s, which is really, that's extremely new for a dog breed to exist.
So it makes sense that we wouldn't have seen them like in our childhood and like
right.
that.
Yeah, they'd be very, very new. If you're looking for a great example of a Silken Wind Hound on Instagram, we love Iggy Tuna. And Iggy _ Tuna has her big sister, Nachi, who is a Silken Wind Hound. And it's really cool to see the two of them together and see them run in the open space. They live in an area with tons of open space, no need for dog parks. They can just run in the fields. And it's just so majestic. And I love being able to follow their adventures and see how these two dog breeds actually get along very well. Of course, it's not going to be the same answer for everyone. So not telling everyone to just run out and get a Silken Wind Hound, but there is potential there because their bond is just so wonderful to watch. Next up, we have the Saluki, which is recognized by the AKC. And if you can't picture what a Saluki is, think like any other sight hound, but on the ears, they have long hair. So the Saluki has relatively short hair on the body, but it does look a little longer than a greyhound's. So somewhere in between greyhound and definitely not as long as an Afghan hound's hair. They range in weight from 40 to 65 pounds, depending on male or female. And the AKC describes their temperament as gentle, dignified, independent-minded. So across all of these different breeds, I'm starting to notice a trend here. We're getting lots of gentle. Mm-hmm. We're getting lots of independent-minded or independent or...
aloof?
Yeah, I know. Aloof might be for Italian Greyhound, actually. But we have experienced that ourselves in Adelaide, our Iggy. So independence. And dignified. The Afghan hound's aristocratic. I'm noticing that the mm-hmm. greyhound was described as noble.
Yeah. Saluki are often compared to and somewhat related to a different breed that we don't have on our expanded list here of the Slugi, which is of African descent. The Saluki is from the Middle East and somewhat related to the Afghan hound. So all of these dogs have a really long history And that is part of why they're standardized the way they
are. Right. Like the Saluki, their history is that they were a hunting hound for kings for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. So many of these were hunting.
Hunting dogs make sense. They're so fast. And the dogs of royalty. So they were bred with a purpose and had a job to do.
Mm-hmm. They got to keep their cool.
Next up, we don't have any personal experience with Salukis, but we've seen them in movies, we've seen them on social media, and we just love the way they look. I love the hair on the ears. I think it's absolutely adorable. And again, we live in a world where we have two Italian Greyhounds now, so the options of getting a third dog to add to the mix potentially won't work for our lifestyle, but I love to dream, and in an alternate universe, dream about these dogs and wonder, what if we just got a Saluki first? In popularity at the AKC, a Saluki ranks 120 of 197. Bless you.
Last up on our list of some of our favorite sighthounds is the Borzoi, also called the Russian hunting sighthound. So this, like the Afghan hound or the Saluki, have distinct geographic roots. And this one, you can see, if you ever see pictures of them, are well adapted to a cold climate because they have a very thick coat.
The Borzois are particularly larger in size than some of the other breeds we've been looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a large breed.
They can range from 55 to over 100 pounds,
depending male or female.
Mm-hmm.
The AKC describes their temperament as affectionate, loyal, regally dignified. Again, going with this regal, noble, royal,
yeah,
sensing a theme there. The AKC breed popularity, it ranks 103 of 197. So Borzois are more popular than Afghan hounds and greyhounds?
Wow.
What? That's blowing my mind right now. Oh, and Saluki.
So whenever I see these dogs, the word that often comes to mind for me is mystical or mythic, right? They have, same as greyhounds, that big long gait, but much more presence because of their coat. So this is one of my favorite sighthounds, not to spoil the list.
Wait a minute, what? I was going to say that Borzois, I'm like, maybe it's not so shocking then. I thought that they were less popular than greyhounds or any other breed. So I was going to say that we actually have experience meeting Borzois. So we met a Borzoi at the Pet Expo, and it was very large. And unfortunately, the owner was not around, and we had Adelaide on a leash, and I think we spooked it. So it was in a pen, and when we walked by with Adelaide, we startled the Borzoi, and we heard that really deep bark, and it still doesn't change our opinion. We love Borzois, but we're sad because I don't think that they would be a very good match. Potentially, there would be that prey drive, and I don't think we could have an Iggy and a Borzoi at the same time.
Right. It feels like maybe it's an accident waiting to happen. If they both got excited about something, that it could turn out poorly.
I will say one of my biggest flexes is that I've met a Borzoi puppy and Ryan has not.
Yeah, Jess last summer spent a lot of days going to the park with the dog.
Well, Ryan was golfing. So, while Ryan was on the golf course, I just got to meet all the dogs of Toronto. And I met this puppy Borzoi who maybe was just, they were still counting in weeks. I don't think we were even counting in months yet. Mm-hmm. And he was, of course, larger than Adelaide already, but so fluffy and cute and sat on his side and they played together. And it's really sweet to see a dog that you know is going to be a giant and see their soft side. Is it time to rank our favorites, Ryan?
I think it is.
Oh my goodness.
So are we just picking from these six?
Picking any. These are the six we described. If you're picking something outside of the six, then you can go into more detail.
I think mine are all from this list.
Great.
You ready to start at number three?
My number three is a Borzoi. So I just described this moment where I met this puppy Borzoi. And honestly, there's just something magical about them. The fur is not predictable. I feel like their fur is just, I almost want to say billowy,
mm-hmm,
it's shaggy.
The description I've heard is wiry and wavy.
Wiry and wavy. But wiry is the hair that, in my opinion, covers a long-haired Jack Russell Terrier. where it feels kind of coarse.
Oh, like and a wire hair Vizsla or
right,
wire
it's
hair
wiry.
Dachshund as well.
Yeah, for me, their coat is just luxurious. Like it's billowy and it's flowy. And unlike an Afghan hound, it doesn't look like you can make human hairdos out of it.
Right.
But it's kind of got that natural look. And I love that. This is in a perfect world where I don't have allergies to dogs. And in a perfect world where we maybe don't even have another dog and this is our first dog and we have a huge backyard and all of those things. I love following some Borzois on Instagram as well. And yeah, it made number three for me. I definitely would want a female because the males can get over 100 pounds and I think I would just be nervous to walk the dog. And I know that there's lots of dogs that are over 100 pounds and people have no trouble walking them. You train them when they're young and et cetera. But I think I'm just so used to having small dogs, it might be a huge adjustment for me to walk a very large dog.
My number three is a Whippet.
What?
So I honestly don't know what it is that made me think Italian Greyhounds were Whippets before we got ours, like why Whippets were more popular. But I think they had to make my list because it is the other smallisher sighthound. And we mentioned the brindle color. I know that is nothing to do with the actual dog, but that is something that I would love to see every day around my house. And I think it's very impressive how fast they are. So many Whippets that I see on social media are sports dogs. Like they can do jumping and they do really impressive things like that. But then again, they're not big and huge like some others. That is my number three.
I was just checking in here, Ryan.
Yep.
Because we've left Italian Greyhounds out of this listing because it's very obvious we're the Iggy parents. We chose an Italian Greyhound. We chose a second Italian Greyhound. We're kind of obsessed. But again, like I said, this is a perfect world where we're choosing other options, pretending we never found Iggy's. But I wanted to talk about here, just brief little interjection. Iggy's on the AKC website are playful, alert, sensitive. They rank 73 out of 197. So Whippets are more popular according to the AKC.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do this like every year. They have a list of breed rankings and I don't know what classifies popularity, if it's these are the amount of breeds that have been bred or adopted, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But they're 73 and Whippets rank higher. So Whippets are the number one
most popular sighthound.
Yeah. Leading in here.
Your number two?
My number two. So I love Whippets. And the first Whippet I ever found that I ever knew of was on Frasier. And it's Niles's wife that you never meet. And she has a Whippet. And the dog is on the show. So this is actually kind of funny because I grew up with a Jack Russell Terrier. And one of the reasons we wanted one is because there was a Jack Russell Terrier on Frasier. But how funny is it that a Whippet is the other dog that was on Frasier, and now we have an Iggy. So I was very influenced by Frasier. But I love the brindle option, and I think it's the closest pair if we were to get another dog. And I actually think that if we had two Iggies and a Whippet, that it wouldn't be that bad of a group. I think that we could handle two Iggies and a Whippet with our current lifestyle. Maris Crane. There we go. Thank you, Ryan, and your research skills.
Your researching husband to the rescue.
Yes. Maris's dog was a Whippet.
My number two is a Borzoi.
What? It's almost like we knew what each other was going to say, but we didn't.
No, we didn't discuss this. I'm putting them on the list because I am the happiest when I get to see them. Again, I feel like it's kind of a magical experience. They're sort of a mystical dog, but they're not my number one because I don't think we could have one as a third dog. And there's also the aspect of cleaning them, right? Giving them baths, having the long hair. I don't think you need to cut it quite as much as like an Afghan hound. I think that it stops growing, but there's still an aspect of grooming to them. But
I'm sure that fur would mat. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do appreciate them from afar. So they're my number two.
We're putting it out into the universe. We're going to meet a Borzoi sometime soon again.
Yeah.
Guess that leaves us with my number one.
It does.
My number one. And this is a breed that I actually would consider and think that maybe we could add to our family someday only because I saw Jenna Marbles do it, and that is a greyhound. So after getting an Iggy and seeing a full-size greyhound, I'm in awe of their long legs, their long body, and because they're mostly adopted from racing, like we said, you can exercise them once a day where they get their full big run, but then they're kind of couch potatoes. And of course, there's going to be a lot of work potentially if they have socialization issues, but it seems like it's not impossible. And we've seen so many success stories of people who have brought in a greyhound to their home and they're able to welcome them in and get them comfortable. And just like how Phoebe's having trouble with sounds, we're just taking it one day at a time and being gentle with her. So I think that we could do that for a greyhound. My only thing is potentially the allergies. I have heard that unlike Iggy's, they do shed quite a bit, but you know, tackle that when it comes. And specifically, in my times where I went to the dog park without Ryan, all of the golfing Thursdays and Saturdays of the summer last year, I actually had Adelaide play with a Galgo Spanish greyhound, and they got along. Adelaide would go up, they'd meet each other at the park, and it's like they recognized each other. They knew they were both sighthounds. They knew that they both had the same body shape. I almost wonder if the greyhound thinks that the Iggy is a puppy version of the greyhound. And I don't think I've even seen a puppy version of a greyhound. After all of our talk about Iggy's being like puppy greyhounds or not puppy greyhounds, I don't know if I've actually seen it. I can't come up with a picture in my mind. So I just think that it would be really cool. Yes, they need that big run once a day, but it's an excuse to go walking more often. I feel like with Iggy's, I kind of get away with less walking. And yeah, so greyhound is my number one, specifically Galgo, because I had such a fond memory of this one from the park that we would meet all the time. Adelaide's little friend or big friend. What's your number one, babe?
Greyhound.
Okay, everyone. So I think we're getting a greyhound. is this the moral of the story? We're telling everyone we're getting a greyhound
apparently
next?
Okay, so the biggest reason that I am ranking them number one, and maybe would not have ranked them number one in the past, I probably would have had Borzoi as number one because I love seeing them, but I wouldn't want them. Phoebe coming into our lives has shown me that training a dog is not about training a puppy versus training a rescue, and that those experiences are completely separate. The biggest thing is Phoebe and Adelaide feel so different and yet had such a similar upbringing. The only difference was not taking Phoebe out quite as much during the pandemic, but because of that, her experience is completely different, which means every puppy we get is going to be completely different. So that gives me confidence that even if a greyhound has been through a lot in the past, we would be able to deal with that, feeling much more confident that we could do that. Now, there's still the issue of the size, and we're going to be living in a one-bedroom apartment and how that would be, but I'm with Jess that I think in the future we definitely could do that. And some people say no hyperallergenic, some people say potentially, and that's what people say about Italian greyhounds too, that they are quote not hypoallergenic, but they don't have many oils, they don't shed very much, and Jess has been fine unless they scratch her or lick.
Right, it's the contact of the fur on my skin that's a problem, but I'm not having any allergies like sneezing like I did with my Jack Russell.
Yeah.
Now, with the greyhound, that might be a problem, but we'll see. We'll see when we get one, apparently.
Well, that's what we said. I'll just read you here the end quote, our wrap-up
of our article, right? This blog post was written. Do we have a date? And again, this episode is based on this blog post, but we're revisiting it.
Yeah, so it was April 15th, 2020.
All right. So over a year later, we now have a second Iggy. We now live in my parents' basement. So much has changed, guys.
We said, overall, we love all sighthounds from afar. There are so many different breeds that have a wide range of coats and coat colors. We love their grace, their style, and their gentle nature. Many of the sighthounds are some of the fastest dog breeds, which is very exciting. Most are not hypoallergenic, which is our biggest barrier to owning. The second biggest barrier is size. We really want a small dog. So, Adelaide, we love you. We would never replace you, but you never know if you might get a sister.
What?
And that was 6 months before Phoebe came home that we wrote that.
And we wrote, what would stop us from getting another one?
Nothing.
We're so dramatic. Well, I guess that's the truth. So we ended up getting a second Italian Greyhound. Mm-hmm. And apparently we're manifesting a full Greyhound someday.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
Anyways.
Guess on that note.
This has been fun. We love dogs. So yes. It's been a fun little chat about them.
I know. We like to dream up dogs, even if we won't be able to own them.
Right. That's part of what we love about social media is being able to appreciate them. Just a feed full of smiles when we scroll through Adelaide's account.
I know. It seems sometimes you lose sight of why are you on Instagram or why are you doing any of this social media representation of your life. And for us, it started as a documentation of Adelaide's life. But when the pandemic started, we realized like, oh, I actually come on social media to feel better when, you know, things are looking kind of gray. And no, social media is not a fix to just make everyone feel better. And I totally understand that it is also a place where things can go terribly wrong. And I think that at least the dog world on Instagram is sort of a nice escape where you can just enjoy posts and videos. And of course, there's the world of social media influencing and things getting maybe a little bit more intense. But at the end of the day, I love seeing cute dogs. So that's the end of our episode. But just wanted to take a moment to talk about our podcast challenge. So Ryan and I just did a podcast challenge where we invited members of this challenge group to start their own podcast in just 5 days. As an exercise throughout the 5 days, we decided to start a second podcast. So would feel improper to not tell you about it here.
We have up on the podcast feed a trailer of our new podcast called Bedtime Puppy Tales.
And we recorded this trailer from our phones.
Mm-hmm.
So we record these episodes with our microphones and have it all set up with Ryan's editing programs. But we wanted to make this as accessible as possible where you can start a podcast from your phone. We hope to have this challenge again in the future. But for now, I'm just excited to see what all of our challengers get up to and when they launch their first podcast, if that's what they want to do. Do you have any ideas, Ryan, of a next challenge we may have coming up?
I don't think we have anything on the horizon for a different offering, but we got some really good feedback about this challenge. So again, we'll try and run it again. Doing it for a second time, I'm sure, would be a smoother experience for us. We wouldn't be doing it for the first time. And then there's lots of things that we would want to expand on if we were going to offer a full course.
Right. I've already got so many more ideas than before about how we can sort of expand on just the free challenge. And if this is something that sounds interesting to you as well, do let us know. And if there's something that's missing from our offering, like this is all in the works. And we've just been so inspired by creating this podcast and connecting with you. And we hope to bring you more.
So thanks to everyone that participated in that. Thanks to everyone that listens to this podcast. And thank you to anyone that feels like checking out our new podcast, Bedtime Puppy Tales. The trailer is up now, and the first few episodes will be going live shortly.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we'd love if you left us a review. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts help us get discovered by new Iggy parents and dog lovers alike.
You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening or wherever podcasts are found.
Our new vlog is going up on YouTube featuring Phoebe's journey through puppyhood.
Don't miss out on every pup date by subscribing to our newsletter at theiggyparents.com/newsletter.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by The Iggy Parents Shop. If you're looking for another way to support what we do here, check out our merch at theiggyparents.com/shop.
And don't forget to connect with us on Instagram by sharing your thoughts with us and your friends. Tag at The Iggy Parents, at Iggy Adelaide, and now you can even reach us at Iggy Phoebe.
Bye for now from Ryan,
Jess,
Adelaide,
and Phoebe.